All right, without any further delay, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 26, if you would please. The book of Acts chapter 26. I asked my brother for a bottle of water, and I've got three up here, so I don't know if that means I get to preach till they're all gone or not. But anyway, Acts chapter 26, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. If you're able, if you're not, I understand, okay? We're going to read just a few verses of Scripture and share some thoughts with you this morning. And again, I feel like that God's given me the message for this hour, and I'm going to depend on that this morning. Scripture says, beginning in verse 1 in Acts chapter 26, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before the touching of all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, none of all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strenuous sect of our religion, I live the Pharisee." I want you to pay attention to verse 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night." Now notice again. "Hope to come.
Yeah.
For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Father, we add your blessings to the reading of your word.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm just a servant today.
Thank God.
And I pray you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Father, I pray as the word of God goes out today that it'll find that lodging place in someone's heart here today.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just here to serve. God, I pray, use me today. Bless your word. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
This passage of Scripture, we find that in the book of Acts chapter 26, Paul refers to two descriptions of his life in this passage of Scripture. But anyway, Paul, as you know, he was a persecutor of the church. That's the way that he lived his life. He tortured Christians because he could not accept, I guess you could say, the hope that they had. Now, again, when you think about the hope that they had, where was it at? Well, the fact that their hope was built around the cross. Not only was it built around the cross, but it was built around the resurrection. And then the promises that go with the cross and also with the resurrection, that was the hope that they had. But when you think about this passage of Scripture and where Paul is at, and the Bible tells you and I that Paul now is being judged for the same hope that the Christians had.
Yeah.
And he confessed there in that passage of Scripture. He said that you're judging me for the hope that I have. And when I think about this passage of Scripture, and I think about the fact that there's many times that throughout the Word of God, you'll find the word hope that is mentioned. But the word hope is not like I'm hoping that I'm going to go down to the gas station today and the prices are going to be lower than what they are. Or I hope I'm going to get something different for my birthday. But the fact is, the word hope in this passage of Scripture speaks about an expectation. That's what Paul was saying. The hope that he had was something that he was expecting to take place. And I'm glad this morning that I've got that hope. Every my soul this morning that I've got a hope that I can expect God to do what God says that God will do. I want to preach today for a few minutes on where is hope. Very simple. Where is hope? If you listen to the news, most of the news today that you listen to is fake news. But they'll tell you that everything's all right. They'll tell you that, again, the gas prices are going to come down. But when you go to the gas pump, they're still up there. They'll tell you that the groceries are going to get cheaper. But when you go to the grocery store,
The hope that we are talking about, again, is something that we can expect, something that will happen down the road. I got to take my time to get where I want to go, okay? I hope you're not in a rush. I got two more bottles. Back when COVID hit, well, it hit me really hard. My wife and I both were in the hospital together. And so it hit me really, really hard. And so there was a time that I had to sit down on one step in the basement and then move to the next step and then move to the next step in order to get out of the basement. Yeah. So I really had a problem. Yeah. And so anyway, when I went to the doctor, they diagnosed me with pulmonary fibrosis. And so when I went to the doctor and when I got there and we talked for a while and they did some x-rays, they did some scans and all those kind of things. And when they got through, she came out and she wanted to give me the diagnosis. And I said, well, what's the deal? She said, you're going to die. Wow. Well, maybe not that long.
Yeah.
But she said, you've got 2 to 5 years. Huh. In the condition that your lungs are in. Now, you wouldn't believe that this morning, would you? In the condition that your lungs are in, you've got 2 to 5 years to live. And so, in our conversation, and I've been back recently to the doctor, and they said, well, there's a little bit of hope. Well, don't you like it when they tell you they got a little hope? You know? She said, there's a pill that you can take. She said, there's no cure for what you got. Now, I know there's a cure. I know there's a cure. I know that. Believe me, I've been down that road. But she said, there's a pill you can take. But the problem, Kenny, is that pill is going to attack your liver. And then you can't get in the sunshine. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I said, okay, I'm going to take the pill. So anyway, a few weeks later, the pharmacy calls me and says, we're sending over your medication. I said, well, tell me what my copay is before you do that. She said, it's $2,095. I said, don't bring it. Don't bring it, you keep it. But anyway, long story short, I got to get where I've got to go here. I got to get down to the word, okay? But anyway, I said, well, how much does the medication originally cost? She said, it's $8,000 for a month's supply.
Wow.
$8,000 for a month's supply. And so anyway, long story short, they called me back after my doctor wrote some letters. I wrote some letters. I gave them my life history. They, on the 7th, my birthday was the 8th. I was 47. Turn that number around. I called this place on the 7th. And when, of course, I had to give them my birthday. She said, well, her early happy birthday. I said, well, thank you. I said, but I need to know, are you doing anything to help me? And she said, well, I'll have to call you back in about 3 hours. And she did what she's told to do, what she said to do. In 3 hours, she called me back. She said, I really want to wish you a happy birthday. She said, your medication is free indefinitely.
Wow.
All the church has been praying about this situation.
Yeah, there you go.
But you see, when we depend on the doctors, and I'm glad for the medical staff that's there. I'm glad for the technology that they have. I'm glad they can do what they can do. But I'm telling you, my hope is not laid up in the medical side of it. It's in the God that holds it all. And he's got it all in his hands.
You see, a hope. Sometimes we get to the place in our lives where we feel like there is no hope. I'm thinking about what the Apostle Paul went through in the book of Acts chapter 27
Remember, he was on the ship heading to Rome. And that ship got into a storm. And that's another message in itself. But when they got to that place, the Bible said they unloaded the ship. They did everything that they could do. They said when the sun wouldn't shine anymore, they said all hope was gone.
Yeah.
Didn't have no hope.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going through life without hope? Well, I can't. Well, I want to talk to you for a few minutes quickly. That was just the introduction, okay? I want to talk to you for a few minutes about where is hope. Where is hope? Take your life and turn quickly to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And again, I like to move around in the scripture. Those of you that have heard me preach, you know that. But in the book of Romans, chapter 5, we'll find something that where we can find our hope. Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 and verse 2. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, first of all, this morning, I want to tell you that our hope is laid out in the thing that's called forgiveness. When God forgives our sins, there is a hope that will carry you through this life that you can't find anywhere else.
Amen.
In this passage of Scripture, Paul does not use the word forgiveness, but he takes it to a higher level. He uses the word justified. You are justified. And what does that mean? That simply means just as if it had never happened. You know what? When I do something to offend my brother, and I say, we get forgiveness, but we don't forget it. You know what justified means? It means he forgave it and he forgot it. He forgave it and he forgot it. So our hope this morning is laid up in the idea that we have forgiveness. We are justified. Paul talked about in his writings to the church at Ephesus. I got to slow down. I get in a hurry thinking that you're in a hurry to get out. And I start worrying about it. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to know what Paul said in verses 12 and 13. He said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise. He said, having no hope. Having no hope. And without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh to the blood of Christ. Now, if you want to go back to verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul would tell us where we used to be at.
Yeah.
He would tell us the condition of our lives, where we were at one time in our lives. But then he comes down here and he said, when you were in that condition, he said, you were without Christ. He said, you had no hope, but bless God. When we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we have a hope. Our hope is laid up in the forgiveness of our sins. Paul says in Ephesians 1 and 7, he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, I can tell you this morning that my hope begins in the forgiveness of my sins. That God has forgiven me. And he has forgotten those things that offended him, that broke his law, the things that I did wrong. But then, there's something else. And I said, you guys had already preached part of my message this morning, but I'm going to do it anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. That is the New Testament, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. First few words. God is what? Faithful. Where's my hope? Where is my hope? My hope is in faithful.
Amen.
So that's where my hope lays.
Yes, sir.
It's in the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
You see, God will never fail in one of his promises.
Right.
Isn't that what the writer tells us in the book of Kings?
Yeah.
That there's not one word of his good promises
that
have failed.
Yes.
Not one word has ever failed. Psalmist tells us in Psalms 89:1, he said, with my mouth will I lay known thy faithfulness to all generations.
Yeah. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we always look at it as what? The faith chapter. It's the heroes of faith. And we always focus on the guy that had the faith. But I'm going to tell you something. The guy that had the faith had a faithful God that was behind him. That was a God that was faithful to see him through and to get him through everything that he faced.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
When you look at Old Testament characters, and there's some good illustrations with these old men of God. When I think about David, remember David? Remember when David went out to fight the battle? You know, I mean, when Saul, he stood head and shoulders above everybody else and should have been out there on the battle line, but it wasn't. He didn't do that. And the army would run every time Goliath would come out. You know the story. And he stood before Saul. And he said, to God that delivered me. The God that delivered me. From the paw of the bear.
Yes.
From the lion. God delivered me.
Yes.
He said that same God is going to deliver me.
Yes.
The faithfulness of God.
That is good.
This has been well illustrated here this morning. I think about the boy. And what he went through. And he shared a little of that story with me in the foyer. But I guarantee you, he's grateful to be alive. But I'll tell you one thing, this woman right here is grateful for the faithfulness of God. She is grateful for the faithfulness of God. Olivia, I'm glad I know this morning that you're thankful this morning for the faithfulness of God. You got to testify about it. He is a God that is faithful. He does what he says he will do. He's married. He And she laid there in that incubator, all these wires and all these plugs that was all over her body. And we were praying, the family was praying, and the church was praying. God do something in this baby's life. And you know what? Yesterday, preacher, there she is. She's a year old. She's a year old. There she is. Amen.
I heard on the news this week of a
12-year-old boy. His mama is fighting for him to have medical attention because he is a transgender. 12 years old.
Yeah.
And today they're telling our kids they don't know if you're a male or a female.
Right.
I don't mean this to be off color. What was the doctor's first words when he handed you that baby?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He done checked the plumbing.
Right.
Come on.
Yes.
God didn't make a mistake.
Right.
God didn't make a mistake. I'm telling you that. He didn't make a mistake. To work with my grandkids.
Yes.
They're all involved in the church. One way or the other. Somewhere they're involved.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Yes.
That they know what it's all about.
Yes.
But let me talk to you again. Very quickly. In the book of Titus. Turn there quickly. I'll give you my last point and I'm going to get out of the way. Titus. Chapter 2. Starts out in verse 11. I love this passage. Paul said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And then he finishes up teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world.
Yes.
Now notice, verse 3, verse 13, looking for that blessed
hope.
Blessed hope.
Yeah.
The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, where is hope? Where is hope? It's not in your government.
Right.
It's not in the secular world today.
Come on.
You're in a good place today.
Uh-huh.
You're in a fantastic place today.
Amen.
But where is hope? It's in the forgiveness of our sins.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for what God did in my life.
Amen.
And I know that I've shared a little bit of my story with you. Growing up as a kid, I'm telling you, we didn't have anything. Had absolutely nothing. We got our food out of the local dump. Mm-hmm. Or the dumpsters that did come dump garbage and we'd dig through it. Things to make life a little easier at home. We'd dig through that garbage. And I know what it was. I know what it was. But I'm glad for the day. February the 21st, 1971. I nailed it an altar.
Yeah.
I nailed it an altar. And I said, "God, I'm sorry."
Yes.
I didn't know anything, boy, about church.
Yeah.
My mom and dad didn't take us to church. The Sunday school bus would pass our house. We were those people that nobody wanted anything to do with.
Yeah.
Vacation Bible school came. They didn't want to stop at our house. Not those people. Those were, they live on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you. February the 21st, 1971, I got a hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I got a hope.
Amen.
Now, where's my hope? It's in my forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he's a forgiving God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's in the foundation that he built under my life.
Right.
Amen.
But my hope is in my future.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's in my future.
Yes, sir.
What's your future, preacher? Well, my family knows this. But when I'm gone, just tell them his hope.
Yeah.
Was in his forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And his faithful God.
Yes.
And the foundation that he built his life on.
Amen.
That's my future.
Yes, sir.
That's my future.
Yes, sir.
Because you see, one of these days, and I think we're really close.
Yeah.
I believe the church is about to make its exit.
Yeah.
I believe that we're so close to making that exit.
Amen.
But you see, without forgiveness, without the faithfulness of God, and without the foundation, you don't have a future.
That's exactly right.
You don't have a future.
Right.
Not the kind of future that you want.
No, sir.
I promise you that. No. But you see, this church has very well pointed out the goodness of God this morning.
Amen.
And what God can do, what God will.
Yeah.
Rich, I don't know how you want to. I just kind of feel like the song, and I don't know if you can do it or not. Maybe Parsons, if you can.